Welcome one and all to Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly webcast for wrestling fans, news and commentary, post-WrestleMania, post-Smarkamania, wrap up a little bit later than we expected, but I tell you what, we are absolutely worn out still. The WrestleMania hangover is still apparent, even a week later. My name is Al John Go, joined with Stephen Anthony. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of this show, don't forget, you can support our show like so many of you did over WrestleMania weekend by clicking on our links to subscribe to our webcast and podcast. All right, ProWrestlingCast.com is where you can find us. You can find all the archive shows there, webcasts on YouTube, also the live blab. We also have got our iTunes feed, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio feeds there as well, and supporting the site by sharing, tweeting, and leaving those five-star reviews and comments. We will appreciate that, and we will talk about those. If you do happen to leave a message, if you do happen to leave a review, feel free to just ping us on social media, P Wrestling Cast on Twitter or Pro Wrestling Cast on Facebook, and let us know that you love the show. And you can also show some appreciation by clicking our Amazon links. So, you know, we sell you stuff. We talk about shoot videos. We talk about wrestling gear. We talk about all kinds of great stuff and books. And you can go ahead and leave us that tip in the tip jar by shopping as you would normally by clicking our Amazon link. And it doesn't cost you any more. It just is giving us a little bit of a tip there from Amazon, because not only do you help us out, but you also help Amazon out too, and get the same great stuff you love every single week. Also, a few of you subscribe to the WWE Network, and we do thank you for that. You can click on our link to WWE Network, and you can, of course, check out WrestleMania. It's free for new subscribers for 1 month, so please feel free to use our link for that, and WWE Shop if you want anything WWE related as well. Last but not least, High Spots. Great shoot videos, digital stuff, as well as a monthly wrestling box could be yours. All you have to do is click on our highspots.com link. It's a great link, not just for shoot videos, but for indie wrestling videos and so much more.
And remember what Brickhouse Brown said in the High Spot shoot, that he broke off Jeff Jarrett his first piece of black pussy, and he's been, and he's been sprung ever since. I think that's the important part of that.
I know one thing. I got Jeff Jarrett his first black piece of pussy. I laid it out for him, and shit, been sprung ever since.
That's probably one of the greatest lines of that shoot video, by the way.
He's been strong ever since. He looks so happy with himself.
He really does. Oh, it's great. You know what? I'd be proud of that, too.
I hope Karen Angle was watching that.
I'm sure she probably knows all about it.
Maybe. I met Karen Angle. She's very nice.
Very nice. Right. She's drop-dead gorgeous in person. Don't get me wrong. She is drop-dead gorgeous. They both did really good for themselves. At any rate, this is a live and uncensored webcast for wrestling fans. I tell you what, let's play the show intro.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Welcome back to the program and this WrestleMania Smarkamania hangover show. Al John Doe here, lifelong wrestling fan, and the uncensored program continues with our man of the hour, the man with the power, too sweet to be sour, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you, sir?
Oh, man, we had so many great matches in the last week or so. We had Invasion Attack last night with Will Ospreay debuting. We had Nakamura pretty much has set Twitter and WWE.com and the marks on fire, you know. And then I think Roman Reigns won the title too. So a lot of interesting stuff's happened in the last week.
This week in wrestling news.
It sure has. Definitely. I'm like, I'm gonna talk now and unmute my microphone. But yes, let us talk about all of that. Now, before we get into the news, let us talk about this. We had a recent passing of a WWE Hall of Famer. Really quick, we've spent a lot of time over the past few weeks, actually this past year, talking about the impending decline of health for a Black Jack Mulligan, and reports, of course, are in. He has passed away. Steven, just a quick, some quick thoughts about Black Jack.
Black Jack is from an incredible family. Black Jack is from an incredible territory, Florida, where he's a babyface. He did it in Texas. He was an incredible heel in WWF. He was one of the first Hall of Fame inductees way back when the Hall of Fame wasn't even a Coco Beware or Pete Rose involved thing. It was just guys they straight up put in, like Andre the Giant and, you know, folks like that. He's one of the best, you know, by far one of the best big man wrestlers of all time. Cut amazing promos. He was stiff. He was no one to mess with in the back. He had it all. A lot of Blackjack information is, you know, a lot of his great stuff, especially in Mid-Atlantic and Georgia and Florida, has been taped over, apparently. But including what I hear is, at least Ric Flair says, is his best angle is the cowboy hat and the robe, which is they destroy each other's stuff. You see Willie Nelson had given him a cowboy hat, and I think it was Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings. At the same time gave it to him, and Ric Flair destroyed it. And he actually destroyed a $10,000 Ric Flair robe in real life. That really did get destroyed. Ric Flair has all the best stories about Black Jack Mulligan. His podcast, which sometimes airs, if they get around. I don't feel so bad about missing a couple of days with these guys. I mean, honestly, they miss a whole month sometimes with podcast time they miss. But
Ric Flair has, we are.
They're terrible. They did two shows in March. They did two shows in all of March, if you look at it. So that's, I'm just saying, that's my favorite one to listen to. And then to finally get to it, and then he has Damon Manning, the WCCW referee, on every time now. It's like, you just hang out with this guy. That's not even like, I mean, he's a great podcast guest.
It's cool. No, it's cool. It's cool. Rick, it's good. We understand you're busy, and CBS probably understands that you're busy too.
But. Oh, I'm sure CBS is totally fine with you only doing two podcasts every 30 days. Yeah, no, I don't think they probably are. I don't know that for a fact. You know,
he probably not.
And I know you're drinking on these shows, dude. I know you keep the more you say you aren't drinking, yet you're hanging out with a very slurry Gene Okerlund and David Manning, who's as money. And alcohol, and this Conrad talking about Crown Royal. I know you're drinking. The more you say you're not drinking on the show, the more I know you're drinking. You know, but I digress. He has the best Blackjack stuff, and you know what? I bet his podcast, his next one he does on Mulligan, I'm sure he'll share a lot of good stories. You know, it's really sad though. Toward the end, he got up to 500 pounds. This is what Flair said. Now Flair spills the beans on some inside stuff. That's why I love listening to his show. Mm-hmm. And you know how people are when they drink, they talk too much. But it got kind of sad there. I knew he was close to death about a month or two ago when Bray Wyatt and
Bo Dallas had to.
Bo Dallas, yeah, they missed Ross. So I think he was supposed to go. He had had five heart attacks in the last year or two. He's such a tough motherfucker. You know, it was hard to take him down. You know.
Yeah,
old school guys.
Yeah, well, I tell you, we did put a few choice moments there. Black Jack's career there, ProWrestlingCast.com. You can check out Flair versus Mulligan in a Texas Death match. You can also check out Andre versus Black Jack, Bruiser Brody promo with him as well, and a shoot interview. Now, there are some things there. And a great promo about Piper's Pit and Black Jack regarding barbecue. Yeah. I mean, Blackjack is fond of his barbecue, and he's also fond of his tobacco and spit cup. And sometimes if you're not careful, he'll end up dumping the spit cup or spitting on you in promos, which he was known to do. But he was a real man's man, and you can check it out. Now, unfortunately, there are some things where he has done some shoots over the past few years where his health has declined. And here he is, you know, sitting out front, and you can see how his ankles and his feet look and how swollen they've become as a result of the many years of abuse and being on the road. And he's still drinking like literally 2 liters of Mountain Dews at a single sitting. And I'm like, wow, Blackjack, that's really rough. But I tell you, this guy, you know, he definitely put up a great fight, but it is worth mentioning. Check out Hall of Famer Blackjack Mulligan there, remembered on ProWrestlingCast.com for a few choice moments.
Oh, and you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up two stories. One is that he punched Harley Race, and Harley fell into a bed crevice, and they pulled him apart. But he actually had the balls to punch him, and he did sucker punch Andre the Giant in an attempt to knock him out, but it did not work, and he began to get drowned. Because Andre the Giant is probably the toughest guy, from what I hear, ever, besides Haku. But he had the balls to punch Andre the Giant right in his head. Just so you know that. Yeah.
I tell you, you know, you mess with the bull, you get the horns. And Blackjack did not mind getting messy when he needed to or wanted to, just for the heck of getting into it.
He said, fuck it. I'll see if I can punch this giant out. Let's see what happens.
Exactly. Well, Blackjack, I of course, our hearts and our thoughts and prayers go out to the family. Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt both. Mike Rotunda, Mr. IRS as well. So moving forward, Smarkamania, Raw, WrestleMania, we did do a very brief webcast regarding this WrestleMania. And by the time you see this, you may see the behind-the-scenes footage of our blab, our live blab.
Oh my God.
I am used to broadcasting for 3 to 5 hours straight.
Okay, let me just make a statement. Let me make a statement here. Go ahead. Okay, I am not a professional broadcaster. I do know a lot about the Midnight Express. I have watched a lot of interviews with Ron Simmons. I have seen all of the NWA episodes from the 80s, but I'm not a professional broadcaster. I just wanted to make that quick comment to the listening audience.
It's a different situation, isn't it?
It's brutal. After 2 hours, man, it's something else. Like, well, what do I say? No.
Let's revisit this. WrestleMania coverage started WWE Network and ended about 7.5 hours.
Crazy
stuff. And that's just WrestleMania, not to mention the fact that we already had a fully loaded card of NXT and the Hall of Fame nights previous. That is a lot. Now, I'll tell you, the good thing about the network is that the stream, surprisingly, was very well done. I didn't
miss a beat. Nobody had any issues either from what I saw on Twitter.
No, but it was difficult to do. Yeah, and it was difficult to do because as we're doing streaming live, whether it be with our friend Nixon or the Beers and Body Slams podcast or even Josh Toomey from Toomey Talks podcast.
Awesome.
It was all, you know, we were all streaming at several different times. So we may be a minute or two behind. So that's probably the last time that's ever going to happen.
Yeah. Well, it was very tough on that. It was cool to watch like the Chris Jericho match with Nixon. And, you know, everyone talks about things later, but to actually talk about it in the moment and say, hey, this match is going pretty good. Oh, that was a surprising ending. But, you know, everybody's like they're burying Jericho's burying Styles. I mean, it just didn't seem that way to any of us. And it was funny later to talk to other people that thought he was getting buried. And, you know, but it's so different when you're in the moment and watching it and you're like, oh, this match is great, you know, and it was a really good match. But
should people that are fans like us use terms that are indicative of being a worker in this business, like buried?
No, because we're not bookers. And we, you know, if you know, if you get buried, you know, you're going to lose to like you're going to go on a constant losing streak. To a series of low to mid carders on your way down. That's a burial. To lose, you know, he won 4 matches against Jericho. He lost 4 matches against Jericho. Just like when Jericho came in and feuded with China, I mean, we were all just as upset. And then what happened? He got a title shot. He almost won it, but didn't. That's what's happening with AJ. They haven't changed anything. The thing about WWE that I don't get is people go on a huge, you know, New Japan will book some, like, Tanahashi goes on a losing streak against Bad Luck Fale, and it's like, what the hell's going on? But it's interesting booking. But he doesn't pin Bad Luck Fale every other week. They just go on a, you know, different style of booking. WWE likes to go 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 with their matches. We all find it very annoying. It doesn't help get people over, but that's just what they do. They are not burying AJ. I'm surprised they haven't buried AJ. He doesn't have the mic skills they need. But you know what? I think they were like, fuck it. Let's have Roman Reigns have a really good first pay-per-view title defense. I think that's what happened. But yeah, no, we shouldn't talk with those terms, although we do. I'm sure it annoys Roddy Piper's ghost to death that we talk like that, but you know, that's just the way I look at it.
Sorry about that. My allergies have been killing me recently.
You've been drinking that shit.
I've been drinking that. You know what I'm drinking? This is what I'm drinking. I'm drinking.
You're drinking
WWE.
You're drinking whiskey,
Bailey's, and coffee in the morning. That's what I'm doing.
You said, like the guy from American movie, you said, what's so great is I don't drink or use drugs or alcohol anymore. That's kind of like Ric Flair in his show. I don't drink during the show. That's why these shows, it's like, of course you're drinking during the show. And that's what you're doing. You're drinking that straight Jaeger.
I think that's what we're doing. But it is very interesting. I just wanted to say, though, overall, I think WWE really worked hard for the money that we subscribers pay for. I think it was great. I watched NXT twice.
Me too.
WrestleMania was very, very difficult for me to actually try watching again. I didn't make it through it.
Oh, my God.
It was so damn long.
I watched the key matches again. I was trying to figure out the best match. I came to the conclusion that with the pageantry at the beginning and end, that the best match was the women's title. I thought the ladder match was just as good. And I thought the AJ Jericho match was very good mid-card match. And Ambrose Lesnar was disappointing, although it was a very good match. Reigns against Triple H was fine. I don't care what anybody says. I hear a slight babyface pop at the end. I think they were just happy the damn match was over.
I think so.
We have to talk about this about WrestleMania, okay?
Go for it.
This is the most interesting thing in WrestleMania, and there's nothing even fucking close. What the fuck was Stephanie McMahon doing at the beginning of that match? She's got a skeleton mask on. She takes it off. She's got her hair permed up, and she's cutting this. It was kind of like an art house poem of or like a depressed kid wrote, or maybe like, you know, like your friend does a play, and you go to see the play, and you realize it's a really whacked out play, but they're trying really hard. I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. It was insane.
Well, what it is it was Stephanie and Triple H trying to be artistic.
Oh my God.
Basically calling out the Warriors into battle. It was Stephanie trying to, you know, she's got this thing for this black dominatrix thing. And I can only imagine, you know, I can only imagine how they are in their private lives. I'll let you guys fill in the blanks with that. But, you know, I mean, was the outfit like, it was stripper hot, basically. Stephanie, you cannot go wrong with stripper hot. Okay,
Stephanie's very beautiful, but when she's talking about demons and ghosts, I think she was talking about ghosts at one point in New York, and she was going to capture them. And
this is where I insert the Ghostbusters clip, right?
It's the same fucking thing as the ghost. I swear she watched the Ghostbusters and was like, actually, what I should do, because I like to perm my hair whenever there's a big pay-per-view.
Yeah, there's only Zool. There is no, you know, are you the gatekeeper? You know, that, you know, that's what it was. But it was interesting, but to say the least, and of course, Triple H with his skull henchmen all carrying the WWE title that I'm sure you could sell at WWE shop for an exorbitant amount of money with Triple H signing the belt or something. I don't know. They should sell it all to charity. That's what they should do. And
I don't ever want to hear them talk shit about the Ultimate Warriors promos again after that. You know, he's talking about power and space juices, and she's talking about the same level of wacky shit. I told you that family. I told you that family's legitimately evil. She proved it because she acted so evil. It was stupid. You ever know somebody do that? Like, I know a lot of evil people where I'm from in Louisiana. They act so evil. They just turn stupid. And that's kind of what happened. But big ups on her for getting her hair permed. I think that's really awesome. You know, she likes to do it up.
I think if you were to crown an MVP for NXT, and well, since we are on WrestleMania, let's talk about WrestleMania. If you were to crown an MVP for WrestleMania, because there are three different days. This saga spans a course of four days, but it's 3 days. So you have NXT, WrestleMania, and Smarkmania.
Right.
Which is WWE Raw. So let's go ahead and do this. Who would you vote for as the... Because we didn't even talk about NXT, but who is the MVP for NXT?
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
And he's going to be the MVP until he leaves. He had the match of the weekend. You know, he, I mean, I heard the Will Ospreay Ricochet match from Evolve was amazing too. I have not seen that, obviously. I was not in Dallas, as it turns out. But, you know, and I'll also say that the Sami Zayn Shinsuke match, I was totally very nervous as it began. I was so nervous. I watched it about 30 minutes behind, and I had to see the results first. That's how much of a mark I really am. I rarely do that with anybody. I really don't do it with anybody that I can think of in on American soil. And, you know, guys like Brian Alvarez and Wade Keller are like, holy shit, this match. Oh, my God. And I'm like, oh, thank God it was awesome. But the minute he came out to the new music and his dancing was a little bit down, I was like, oh, my God, this is going to work. And the crowd was like, we came here to see him. And it's like, I can't believe so many people are into him like me. You know, it's just really, it was almost like they all flew there because they heard he was going to be there. And, I mean, they kept chanting throughout the whole match. I mean, it was honestly not even in the top 10 of Nakamura matches I've seen. You know, a lot of people are like, I don't understand why Meltzer didn't give it 5 stars and this and that. Well, you know, it wasn't nearly as good as the AJ match 2 months ago. It was close to as good as that, I guess. It wasn't in, but the match he had with, like, Okada last summer or Tanahashi during the G1 final, and especially the Kota Ibushi match, these are just matches in the last 12 months. Those, it wasn't even as good as those. He's had Sakuraba match. He's had so many awesome fucking matches. And this was just another one, you know. But when he wants to have that 5-star match and they put him in the ring with AJ Styles or they put him in the ring with, you know, a Neville or Finn Balor, which actually would be the best for NXT right now, then he'll do it. He can decide when to do that. But, yeah, he took it easy, to be honest. It was kind of stiff. Match of the weekend. Now the girls are fighting over him on Twitter. Sasha Banks and Bayley are, if you go on your Twitter, they're actively fighting over him. And I know Asuka keep posting pictures with him. Which one of these girls, Al John, is he going to kiss first?
Which one is he going to turn out first, as Brickhouse Brown would say?
I didn't say that.
Who's going to turn this mother out? Look, I don't know. You know, either way, he's a winner. Let's put it like that. Either way, he's hit the lottery because any one of those girls are just absolutely awesome. And and as Ric Flair would say in his podcast, could go all night long. Woo!
But you know the thing about him is he's so fucking cool that he won't even play it off like it's anything. You know, he's just like, oh hi.
Why he's really cool. I agree with you. Shinsuke Nakamura definitely VIP, but I would actually put on a close second, I would say Bayley, and then if I were to rank it, I actually would put Austin Aries in there, even though he had what a lot of people would say a disappointing match. I think that it showed that, you know, what he's actually there to do, and he cut a magnificent promo. Everyone was talking about Shinsuke and not necessarily about the debut of, you know, the greatest man on earth, Austin Aries. And I think Austin Aries, I think, is great. What a great addition to the NXT roster. And once again, proving that that brand can stand on its own, churning out great storylines with great talent.
I think Austin had a disappointing match because of his opponent. Yeah. Austin, I mean, wait till Austin has matches with Nakamura and Balor and, you know, potentially Bobby Roode even. There's tons of guys. So, you know, that was a match because I guess they figured Corbin was leaving. You know, good riddance. He's not going to make it. You know, there's with Kane and Big Show around, you know, and that shit hair. You know, well, wrestling isn't the issue. It's the hair.
I think I actually did see glimmers of good stuff with Baron Corbin over the weekend, but that'll wait till Smarkmania when we talk about that. But I think I did like NXT TakeOver Dallas. I thought it was well done. I thought the matches were great. There were, of course, people we thought were going to be featured in the show that were not because they were waiting for Monday.
You mean Luke the Drifter?
Oh, the Drifter. Yeah.
The Drifter's match got cut, which I was very disappointed in. Although we're going to see Nakamura against the Drifter Wednesday night. And let me promise you, I can't wait.
I thought that was hilarious, by the way, as they cut to the Drifter and he's singing his song inside the ring. And of course, they say, "You suck. Your song sucks."
He does suck. He really does suck. That's why he should learn Luke the Drifter songs. I wanted to say this, though. This is important. The Asuka Bayley match was criminally underrated. You know, the crowd didn't see it coming. And the funny thing is people are like, I thought the match was good, but the ending was surprising. It's like, well.
Really?
Right. So that's good, right? Because you didn't know that was going to happen. But I just saw her lock it in and she kept it in. So I know wrestling psychology. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. She's going to tap.
She's going, no.
And this crowd's going to shit them. And they did. And that match was awesome. And the second best match of the WWE.
Well, let's back up now. She didn't tap out. She passed out.
Whatever. Same thing.
And I knew that I was right. You know, and you were right too. I believe that's what you were talking about, because when Asuka hooked it on, all of a sudden, here come, you know, we knew that the plucky baby face wasn't going to give up. She will never give up. She's going to pass out in the ring, a la Stone Cold, a la Bret Hart. Much respect there on both competitors, because Asuka is not a heel or a face. And Bayley, and this is what's great about NXT, and something that we haven't talked about at all. Sometimes in this new way of us talking about the matches, it is possible for two faces to have a very competitive contest without being neither face nor heel, which is where WWE is starting to go toward a more realistic thing, it seems to me, in terms of competition, which I believe is something that Triple H highlighted in his press call a few days before Dallas Takeover,
or
the day before of Dallas Takeover for NXT. In regards to their characters and things like that, hopefully I'll be able to get the audio up. There's so much audio from WWE regarding the press that I haven't even put up because I've been so busy, but it's really a cool take, but I liked it. And I would say, yes, I would agree with you. Shinsuke Nakamura, definitely. And probably, and as much as I like that match, I will say that I like the women's match probably just edged out just a little bit more just for storytelling purposes.
No, the story was much better actually. You know? Well, let me, if you don't mind, let me send a personal message to Asuka. Is that okay?
Yeah, please.
Okay. All right, Asuka, you know, baby, listen, you know, Nakamura is not going to date you, okay? I know you've seen these matches in Japan. He has all these bitches come out, and they're doing all this stuff. Asuka, those are stunt bitches, okay? You know, that's not what's really happening. There's a lot of fish in the sea. Okay, you are one of the three best workers on American soil right now. There's a lot to be said for that. But I just don't want to see you get your heart broken. I see you posting these pictures. You know, he's got Sasha Banks after him. He's got Bayley after him. He's got women of all races, colors, and creeds after him. It's going to be really hard. What you need to do is concentrate on your career.
Okay, this PSA has been...
Those are stunt bitches. They're not real. Hey, by the way, Enzo and Cass, the last time I called NXT women by that word, what did I say was going to happen? They were going to drop that hoe. That's exactly what they did. Carmella didn't end up on the main roster, did she?
No.
And Vince loves hoes, so you got to really wonder what that's all about.
Wow, for the whole new progressive thing, we've just literally taken 10 steps back just with Steven's commentary alone.
No. I'm talking about Japanese strippers. Those are the girls I'm talking about. Not the current wrestlers.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
Go watch Wrestle Kingdom 8, everybody. You'll know what I'm talking about.
Watch
this 7 or 8? 7 or 8.
I think it was...
Is that bad?
9. Was it 9? It was 2 years ago, right?
No. Well, you had the King entrance at 9, and then at 8, he had a load of strippers. How many strippers was it, sweetheart? Would you say it was 10 strippers? Oh, she looks upset. I believe it was 8 to 10 strippers. But this is why I know this. A girl came at a house show, kind of TV taping-ish show. I saw this before. A girl came from the audience to hug him, and he just fucking pie faces her. Like, you know, get away from me. And I looked at Terry and I said, you know what? Those were stunt bitches. I don't even know if he's, you know.
Yeah, it's like The Godfather, you know.
You know where I'm going. I'm not going to say it yet, but you know I'm right.
So, yes, let's talk about this really quick. A couple, you hinted about the sightings of Bobby Roode as well as Kota Ibushi, which I was surprised. Word has it that Kota Ibushi will be bound for WWE as well as Bobby Roode. There is a reason why, and that is the reason why you watch NXT Live, folks, because you get to see all of this happen. Your thoughts on these possible signings?
They're just funny. It's like, oh, look who's in the front row. Like, oh, okay.
We know what that means, folks. You know what that means. They're coming to NXT.
Yeah. They're not like, oh, look, Dixie Carter's here. You know, that doesn't happen. And she must be crying in her beer at Tootsie's. But, you know, they're really grabbing a lot of talent, you know. And now I think they have Ricochet, too, coming for that Cruiserweight tournament because he jobbed last night at Invasion Attack. I did a clean job to Roppongi Vice, whose new album drops. You probably should put up a link so people can hurry up and buy that.
Yes.
Actually, we've promoted Rocky Romero's music more than anyone possibly could have.
I believe that to be true.
I really.
Our Amazon link if you want to go ahead and purchase the Roppongi Vice record for $6.
If you choose to do that, being that you could buy like Beatles albums for $10, you should go get the Roppongi Vice album for $6.
I tell you though, the NXT show was really, really good. American Alpha versus Revival still was really, really good. And
4-star match. Awesome.
The backstage, the look of American Alpha winning the titles, you can tell it means so much. Just talking about it now brings me chills because this is how invested we are in these characters. You know, I'm still a mark. I fall for this, and I know that they work so hard to get it, and the look of genuine, just, you know, the cup overfloweth. They were so overcome with emotion, winning the titles backstage, being interviewed at WWE.com. They were just so happy that they did it. They accomplished their goal, and they're finally getting over with the crowd, and I'm so happy for them, just like I'm so happy for all the performers at NXT, because we are along for the ride. Just like we were talking about earlier with WrestleMania, you know, we're still fans. It's still real to us, damn it. And this is how we suspend our disbelief. It's still one of the greatest shows that we could ever, enjoy and put out there.
It was a great show. NXT TakeOver was great. The Hall of Fame was great, although long. And WrestleMania, for what it was great. I mean, I'm not going to rewatch a lot of it. Whereas last WrestleMania I thought was so much better. But it was WrestleMania, and they had all these injuries, and it still came off okay. It wasn't bad. It wasn't WrestleMania 9. And TakeOver had 4. I don't know if you want to match rate, but I mean, like 4, pretty much 4-star level matches out of what, 5 or 6. You can't beat that.
Well, I hate to use match ratings, and that's why we originally had, you know, do you buy in or do you not buy in, right? And or do you watch or you want to rewatch, right? So let's reacquaint everybody with it. So, you know, even though you say WrestleMania is a buy for you, but you won't rewatch it,
I did.
I mean, yes, they're all shows that are a buy for us. We do like the shows. And I will probably watch NXT again. WrestleMania is just too damn long, but I will watch some key matches over again. And Hall of Fame, I'll watch it again just to see what they edited out. So.
Yeah, and again, they really, you know, people need to get over themselves on the Bayley Asuka match. It was easily the second best match of the weekend. It just came after that match, and people were surprised by the pacing and ending. It was an awesome match. It was much better than the women's match at WrestleMania, which was the best match on that card, most likely. So, and TakeOver killed it.
What do you want? What else do you want? It just once again goes back to the IWC. When you give them things and then they, of course, are going to still tear it down and, of course, move on to something else. I just feel that we're along for the ride and that it was a great show. Now, MVP for WrestleMania, who do you put up there as your MVP?
Oh, you mean WrestleMania, the show WrestleMania?
Yes, the 7-hour extravaganza that is WrestleMania. Because I tell you, other than the announced team, and we were alluding to this, you know, I've been on radio and do all that, and I've been on, when I used to host a 3-hour long talk show, I would talk the entire time, and I'm used to a long pace, a long broadcast, but you know, it's hard for people to maintain, you know, to maintain 3 hours, 4 hours, it's 5 hours. And brutal. We had to cut off our feed at some point because everybody was watching the main event, and it's like, it didn't make any sense for us to continue doing reactions. And we should have, to a certain degree, maybe, and maybe next time we'll do our audio podcast instead of doing video, but, yeah,
maybe
but that. As we just watch a show, but, who would you say is your MVP for the entire WrestleMania card?
I don't know. The card was really kind of there on all fronts. I guess in a really weird way, I would say Shane McMahon, because, you know, although I really did not like that match. That match I will never watch again. But I did watch that bump again. And just for the fact that he came in to help out not just his dad and the family and WWE itself. He came out to help everybody. You know, he took a very dangerous bump.
Oh,
I mean, Lord. Really, really dangerous bump.
No! Oh, my God! No! For the love of mankind! Shane just exploded through our table! Oh, my God!
He did it perfect. And then,
he did.
I mean, you know, he's 47. He's involved with a very, you know, important company in China. But he came just to help out because so many people were injured. And he's the MVP because he said, I got to do this. Let me just figure out a way to do it. So I'd give it to him. If not him, I'd give it to the Flares. I thought they came off really, really cool with the you know, the way they did it. And you know, AJ was great, and a lot of people were great. But if you're going to give it to one person, give it to Shane for taking the risk and knowing he's not going to be there and not getting any reward from it. You know, he doesn't stay with the roster. You know.
Well, I agree, 110%. Shane McMahon's bump was epic. He got, I mean, it was literally, I saw it, we all saw it, and in when I play it back in my mind, I see it in slow motion, and that is a true highlight. You know, when you watch and you see the airtime and you see that he landed on the table spot on, it was absolutely amazing.
Awesome.
Was there practice involved? I hear there was.
Yep.
But having said that,
well, I was wrong about the 48-foot bump. It wasn't 48 feet. It was maybe 18. But I guess they had something even stupider kind of planned that they didn't do. So that's good.
I'm glad.
I mean, well, his bump was crazy. I mean, that was really a crazy bump. I know it was padded under the table, but I really don't care.
Doesn't really matter. The bottom line is
I'm not going to jump 2 feet.
No. You could seriously break your hip doing that, you know? And to see Shane come out with his kids, that was really great. So there were a lot of great WrestleMania moments. What did you think about the stunt casting of Austin, HBK, and Mankind coming to the ring in order to usurp those dastardly villains?
Well, speaking of stunt bitches, I was about to become a stunt bitch for HBK with those abs.
Yeah, HBK looking really good coming to the ring.
He looked really hot. I mean, good. I mean, his face looks weird. Am I giving away too much about my personal life? Oh, Gary's upset again, man.
Everybody talked about how great shape HBK was. I mean, he didn't look like he's done, you know. But and of course, Mick Foley losing weight. We found out
great.
Foley podcast with Stone Cold, which was great.
Oh,
Steve
boy.
Austin hitting a myriad of different stunners.
Steve Austin did not get a lead for the show, though. He was like, I'll come in, but I'm drinking all weekend.
Yeah.
You know, but that's fine. He does a lot of stuff. He doesn't have time. But yeah, I thought that was really awesome. It was they give you that mark out moment at the 2-hour point of the show. That seems to be their thing now, and I really like that. Looks like he could go right now and probably be one of the two or three best workers.
Actually, this is how it's done, folks. I mean, look at how they commanded themselves, look at how they carried themselves to the ring like real superstars, and they did give the rub. You know, once again, to the House of Pot Pancakes. So that wasn't bad.
Well, those boys just need to go away or split up. I mean, if I never see Sheamus on my TV again, that'll be fine with me.
More stunt casting continues as The Rock comes out and gives the rub to the Wyatt family. And everybody says, oh, let the burial begin. Let the burial begin of the Wyatts. But you couldn't ask for a bigger superstar to work with and to be, you know, on the highlight reel than The Rock. I mean, I thought the flamethrower was pretty excessive.
That was interesting.
I didn't understand that, nor did I like it. I thought that she would have at least got the Rock would have at least got the fireworks cannon from China, if anything, because the fireworks cannon's nice. But the flamethrower, maybe not so much.
I don't know. I don't think the confetti shooting out or cannon thing, I was always very, I don't know, how should I put it, semen-based in symbolism. But fire is probably just as semen-based.
Yeah,
but, still, I've been very vulgar this morning. I'd like to apologize to everybody.
I tell you what we're gonna do, Steven. I tell you what we're gonna do. We're gonna give you, Steven, a flamethrower. That's what we're gonna give you.
And I'd go, oh fuck, that's a great idea. Yeah, I could.
And then
do
after that, you're gonna puke. We want to see you puke.
Hey, let me ask you something. You gonna get sick?
Yeah.
Yeah. You gonna get sick? How about it? Yeah. What? Yeah, that's one of my. Yeah, but that's from Beyond the Mat. I'm sure you'll throw the splice it in.
Huh? You gonna get sick?
That's a possibility.
Huh? Oh my God! He's gonna puke.
That's one of the great Vince moments. But even Mick Foley was shocked by that. I mean, he's like, that's so weird. He was acting like that. But I love that moment. I love Dennis Stamp. Yeah, actually, Dennis Stamp is the best thing in Beyond the Mat because I constantly use his line. If I'm like talking to Terry and I'm like, did you remember to bring my tie for us to go to this? And she goes, oh God, I forgot it. And I go, that's okay. I guess when I told you about it, I was down so low you couldn't hear me. Or that's the Dennis Stamp line. I guess I was down so low you couldn't hear me. You know, everybody likes him working out on the trampoline and saying, I just jump. This is how I work out. You know, that's funny. Or I'm not booked, but I guess I was down so low you couldn't hear me. That Dennis Stamp. I would book you right now if I had any kind of thing going on.
Well,
we were talking about
the MVP or just the stunt casting of the Wyatts. So the Wyatts get a good rub from The Rock.
Yeah, except for Eric Rowan. Now Eric Rowan, they do kind of bury a lot. I mean, he takes a lot of jobs. He does a lot of jobs. But let's hope this Lesnar Wyatt feud we've all been hearing about turns out good. And I mean, I learned a lot about what the direction they're planning on going from this Falcon Arrow guy on Reddit who posted all this stuff before Smarkamania. I know Nixon was talking about it. He noticed it too. And he said all this weird stuff. He said that, you know, Roman Reigns was going to hold the title till the summer. He said the colognes are going to come back out and get a big push. He said we'd be really happy about who's going to be the new main event. He said all this stuff, and it all happened. I mean, to say, like, the colognes are coming back with a new gimmick and getting a push, who the hell would think that? But this guy was 100% on everything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think you know, they're going to go babyface more maybe a bit with the Wyatts. And, you know, I think they're going a lot of interesting directions. I'm hearing, you know, the Observer Radio guys were saying that they felt like the Authority wasn't going to be in the show for a while. Shane wasn't going to be in the show or Vince, and they were just going to kind of do it like that. And that might be more interesting. You know, these next 2 months are the down period for them anyway. So,
yeah, well, that's great. I do believe too that, you know, the ladies match was probably one of the best matches that we could ever hope for, on the WrestleMania card, but MVP definitely goes out to Shane McMahon, and the stunt casting was fine. I didn't have a problem with the stunt casting at all in terms of the legends coming out. The battle royal for the Andre the Giant battle royal came out. You saw Tatanka, which I was surprised. DDP getting a few great shots in there. Not bad overall. And, moving from there to Smarkamania just really quickly, a debut of a lot of great talents. You know, I'm a big fan of Big Cass and Enzo Amore going out there.
They were the MVPs of that.
They were definitely MVPs, proving that they deserve to be there. I tell you what, Enzo was on fire, so much so that the Dudleys couldn't help but pop. Actually, they cut a promo on the Dudley Boys. Dudley Boys were sitting there at the ring. Of course, this was early on during Raw, so there was a lot of miscues. Poor Lillian Garcia. That's all I'm going to say about that.
A lot of yelling going on with the floor directors there.
Really, yeah, a lot of mistimed cues, but that's why live is live, and they're still pros. Having said that, I know that the Dudleys popped heading to the back because Big Cass and Enzo were so great. And of course, what happened?
They were almost laughing the whole time. I mean, they were trying to hold it back, I thought.
They couldn't help themselves. It was actually really good.
They killed it.
Yeah, they absolutely killed it. You saw Baron Corbin come out, and I thought there was a glimmer of what's going on. And that just seems to me that with an impending exit of a Mark Henry, with other people leaving the roster, I don't know who's going to be released, if anyone's going to be released. I know that there's people saying that people are unhappy. Damian Sandow is rumored to be on the block. Of course, Wade Barrett is said that he's not happy with creative. So those two superstars are leaving. You did talk about the Los Matadors coming back as the Colognes, which I am so good with, because
ridiculous
once again to not do that. You know, they're not Spanish, they're not Mexican, they are Puerto Rican people. There is a difference. So let's get back to this this whole thing about, you know, getting back on track with cultural sensitivity and everything.
Please.
And
show
evolved product. So I'm okay with that. What else was there for you? I mean, holy smokes, Apollo Crews came out and made his debut, did just fine in my opinion.
He did just as good as he does at NXT. You might as well give him a shot. You know, Corbin is – I knew he's going to pick Corbin. I'm happy with who Vince called up, because it kept NXT awesome. So now I can see Nakamura Balor. I can see Asuka Bailey continue. I don't have to deal with Baron Corbin. Luke the Drifter's getting kicked in the head by Nakamura. The world is good. Everything's fine, you know.
It's interesting because you have a lot of mid-level talent or mid-carders coming up from, you know, to fill that void, and to see Apollo Crews versus Prince Pretty over there, you know.
Oh, they've done. People, now there's a guy. Now that guy's getting buried.
I don't know. I think he came up to fulfill his role. His role and position was to be that kind of talent. They know that the guy can work.
Yeah,
they know that he can work, and you know he's gonna be at that mid-carder position. I think a lot of people don't realize that everybody has a role, and that role, regardless of how we perceive it to be, is going to change from NXT to Raw or SmackDown. Like the Vaudevillains had a great, debut on SmackDown. For what it's going to be, it's going to be a long road, I believe, for them, because their gimmick is so much based, I believe, on the intro.
They've been there too long, though. Yeah, but I know what you mean. But they've been there too long, and it gets over. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're going to be a tag team that comes in and gets over. You know, so, I mean, everybody's down on it. It's like, well, what? Do you want them to just stay in NXT forever? Because they're not doing anything. They've turned them, I guess, heel. I don't even know what they did. I mean, it's hard to explain. I thought it was cute how they turned him heel. But yeah, put him on SmackDown, give him a shot, give Apollo Crews out there doing jobs. By the way, when you said Prince Pretty, I swore you were going to say Prince Puma, and I was going to be like, man, that must have been something I really missed. Like, wow, did they really do Tyler that?
Breeze.
My God.
Tyler Breeze, folks. Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, I knew that's what you meant. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, great. Actually, it wasn't a great show. It sucked in a lot of points, but it was definitely great the last 30 minutes. Enzo and Cass into the AJ four-way was cool. Again, I really think they want to push strong for Roman Reigns to have a very strong title defense. It looks like they don't mind him being a tweener. They might as well not mind that. But I think, you know, he'll put over AJ. What am I, drunk? AJ will put him over and have a fantastic match. And AJ Styles is in the main event of a WWE pay-per-view for the world title. Rewind 4 months and tell that to me, you know. How about that? And Nakamura had the best match of the weekend in Dallas. Those are the two things that happened. So I have a little more faith that maybe they can get it right. The 50-50 booking is the only thing I hate. And of course, the writing sucks. But they have so much talent right now. They have so much talent, you know, that they've kind of hurt. They have hurt New Japan. You know, I haven't seen Invasion Attack yet. It literally just ended about 5 or 6 hours ago. I do plan on watching. I read the results, and you know, just I just get the sense that you know, they really got hurt, not so much by AJ, but by Nakamura leaving. You know, and I think a lot of places are going to feel that.
You know? Definitely, definitely. I think it's great once again to see the main event, the four way match with the return of Cesaro as Sami Zayn was taken out of that equation. I think was great. I was excited for that. I was excited to see AJ Styles. AJ Styles once again great. Had a great podcast with Sam Roberts. Although I'm not the biggest Sam Roberts fan. I'm still scratching my head as to why he's gotten himself this far in broadcasting, and maybe I'm just starting a beef with him. I actually do like him, but
wow!
Did I just start a beef with somebody?
I don't know. I'm still gonna kick Taz's ass, so I don't mind starting beefs.
I do like Taz. I do like, you know, but I appreciate Sam Roberts, but AJ Styles. I listen to your podcast, Sam. There you go. And of course, big shout out to my girl, Kathy Kelly, too, by the way. Kathy Kelly, awesome. Glad that you're doing well over there at WWE. But Raw viewership was up, and that's good. I'm happy for the direction, and I'm happy that Natalia is finally getting that push.
That's also great. That's also great news, yeah. I think that one match she did on Raw with all that great heat, really. It wasn't on Raw. Wasn't it on the pay-per-view?
Roadblock.
That match really got her back in the thick of things, and she should be, you know, because she's honestly a better worker than a lot of the people we've been talking about, and that just shows me that they have some sense of what they're doing sometimes.
Well, they need to lend some validity to the women's championship. If you're going to make sure that women's wrestling matters, then let's make sure that not only in the eyes of the fans, but even in the talent, that we give that respect. And she may not win the title, Natalia, but she will definitely give Charlotte a run for her money and have a competitive match. Please, Natalia, go back to your old ring gear. I like it better. So let us move on to this really quick. We talked about Evolve, and I will say this, man, once again, iPay-per-view results for Evolve 59, Ricochet versus Ospreay, Galloway versus Jonah Gargano, Drew Gallup and Tracy Williams for the tag team titles. Whoa, what a great show.
Awesome show.
Just really quick, here are the results. And you can seek this out, and I definitely hope that you would. Drew Gallup and Tracy Williams defeated Drew Galloway and Johnny Gargano to win the Evolve titles, the tag team titles. Chris Hero beat Fred Yehi. Sam Callahan defeated Anthony Nesse. Ethan Page defeated Darby Allin, and Tommy Ann defeated TJ Perkins. Matt Riddle defeated Zack Sabre Jr. That's going to be a good one.
Love Zack Sabre.
I still need to watch this, but I'm giving you the results anyway. Marty Scurll defeated Timothy Thatcher, and in the long-awaited main event, Ricochet defeated Will Ospreay in what I'm sure, from all reports, was a barn burner. So
I think that might have been the match of the weekend. I have not seen this card yet. I'm really anxious to see Thatcher against Marty Scurll, because you know, the matches Marty Scurll had with Will Ospreay, and we can maybe lead this into Invasion Attack last night, because Will Ospreay had his New Japan debut. He fought Kushida. I have not seen it. Again, it just happened. Apparently, it was the match of the night. I knew it would be. And he did put over Kushida, and Kushida is going to go into a program with Jushin Liger. So that's pretty interesting. So that's somebody that can put over Kushida. Like I said, Ricochet and Matt Sydal, however you want to say it, lost to Roppongi Vice, one of the greatest tag teams in the history of wrestling, and greatest singers and performers. So that basically means that with Ricochet taking a clean pinfall, that Ricochet will most likely be in the WWE Cruiserweight tournament. Let's see, they've set up Tanahashi to feud with Bad Luck Fale. They kind of been working with that for a while, but I think they're going to go with that program permanently. The Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, the Bullet Club Elite, the real Bullet Club, the real main event, had another really strong six-man match. They actually lost their six-man title to Tanahashi, Michael Elgin, and a returning Yoshitatsu. Yoshitatsu is the guy that got his neck broken from the Styles Clash.
I couldn't remember.
Right. I'm not sure if Scott Hall's son Cody was actually hurt. I haven't seen the show, but he was stretchered out. It might have just been an angle, or maybe it was real. But they do set up with this Michael Elgin versus Kenny Omega, Bad Luck Fale versus Tanahashi. Some pretty interesting booking there. you know, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, as usual, challenged the New Day, who actually did talk about the Young Bucks in Japan and the Bullet Club in an interview the other day. We should try to find that somewhere. And the biggest story is Okada has lost his title to Los Ingobernables' own Naito, and Naito is the new champion. I'm anxious to see this. This is really good booking again. You basically just had Tanahashi and Okada left as your two big guys with Nakamura leaving, so they've pushed them a little bit downward. They have a new champion. Tanahashi's doing jobs, and now they build them back up while building up other people. So New Japan, the best booking there is, but still the ghost of Nakamura remains.
Yes. Whoa, that was an amazing report, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amazing report, and I agree on all levels. Looking forward to the Cruiserweight Champion Challenge.
Doing
it at NXT. Also, something you might want to check out, too. You're a big fan of women's wrestling like we are, too. Shimmer 80, the iPay-Per-View report, is also happened, and definitely something you want to check out. Just really quick, a couple different things. I mean, round one, cheerleader Melissa defeated Leva Bates. Number two, Candice LeRae beat Cherry Bomb. Nicole Savoy over Lou Fisto. Kimberly beat Jessica Havoc. Heidi Lovelace beat Vita Scott. Nicole Matthews defeated our girl, Crazy Mary Dobson. Number two, Candice LeRae in round two defeated cheerleader Melissa. Nicole Savoy beat Kimberly, and Heidi Lovelace beat Nicole Matthews. And the last round, round three, Nicole Savoy defeated Candice LeRae and Heidi Lovelace in a three-way elimination match to become the new Heart of Shimmer champion. Savoy eliminated LeRae, then beat Lovelace to win the elimination match. That is all good stuff. Big fan of cheerleader Melissa's Crazy Mary Dobson, Candice LeRae, Nicole Savoy, Heidi Lovelace, Nicole Matthews. Yeah. All great indie wrestler talent there from Shimmer.
Candice LeRae is so awesome. And they're very interested in Nicole, from what I understand, WWE.
Good.
And our girl Crazy Mary is now dating Vampiro. They're having quite the love affair on Twitter.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, that's a nice couple. If you think about it, they kind of make sense, you know.
She's a fan girl for sure. And there's so much stuff we could talk about, and we just scratched the surface. Once again, I hope that you're able to check out what's going on there at ProWrestlingCast.com. We're leading up to the end. Before we go into our incredible promo of the week, because we have had a pretty solid year of Pro Wrestling Cast that happened every single week, or at least we try to. Steven, what has been your highlight so far this past year, and what do you look forward to in this new year?
What I'm really excited about is that I showed a picture of Nakamura combined with my cat 6 to 9 months before he became huge.
Okay.
That's the thing I'm most proud of. I'm proud of the show getting so much better in quality, you know, the things that we've infused into it. Well, let's face it, you have infused into it, and just becoming more relaxed doing it. I do not have the ability to do several hours of work, but, you know, it's still a highlight of my week, just like I said a year ago. And, it's actually made me watch a lot more wrestling. You know, now guys like Sami Callihan and Tim Thatcher, I watch very closely, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm forced now to watch more WWE and things of that nature.
Well, there you go. I think that, yeah, once again, I'm very happy about the show. I'm happy that we have so many great listeners and viewers of this webcast and the podcast. And it's only going to get better, folks. We plan on launching a Patreon. We plan on doing a bunch of different things. And it's all just to make the experience better for you all, you know, and wherever wrestling is, you know that Pro Wrestling Cast will do their best to be there for you and deliver you the news with our own special twist of commentary in there as well. Having said that, let's go ahead and play the promo of the week. Let's start off on the good foot, shall we? Ric Flair, the legendary Ric Flair and the greatest promo ever. We're going to go ahead and leave you that as we sign off for this week. Once again, you can follow me at P Wrestling Cast as well as Jedi Mouseketeer on Twitter. And once again, check out ProWrestlingCast.com. Stephen, where can people find you?
Dr. Death Mark. And I'll just let you know this. Once you're Los Ingobernables, you're Los Ingobernables for life.
All right. Nick Bockwinkle mentioned in this episode. Don't forget to tuck your head, and we will see you next week. In the meantime, enjoy our promo of the week.
Promo of the week.
Flair.
13-time former WCW World Heavyweight Champion. You have captured the hearts of these people for two decades as the consummate professional wrestler. Ric Flair, coming off that travesty in Washington last night. Where were you going with all this gear?
Oh, man. You know, Gene. Thank you. All I can say is thank you. But you know what? The truth is, all this, I don't deserve it. I got my ass kicked last night. And damn it all, I'm ashamed of it.
Gary Bischoff did not. No, there was interference.
You know, and Baltimore knows me. Hell, I know Baltimore. But what am I going to say? I got in the car last night. I went back to the hotel. I called Arn Anderson. I said, Arn, brother, it's over. I got drunk. I woke up today. I said, it's over. I called my wife. She said, get home. It's over. I got on the plane. I sat down. The flight attendant said, what do you want, Mr. Flair? And I said, hell, I want to go to Baltimore. And that's what it is.
You're warming up. Thank you.
So, Bischoff, wherever you are, and brothers, right now, you're the man. I'm asking you and Baltimore, 18,000 strong, and 20 million people out there, to hear me out for the very last time. Nate Jane, who made this coat? Hugo Boss, Armani, you set it up, broke. Hell, my life's just starting, Jack.
What is this?
Who made this? Harry Ellis.
My goodness, starting to...
This is how I travel, you jackass. I'm custom made from head to toe. Have been and always will be. You jackass.
Taking all of his clothes here. Shirts, suits,
ties. That's me. I've lived the life of a king because the people have allowed me to. Woo!
What is the point? Whoa.
Right there. $2,000 alligator. It's yours. $30,000. It's a gold Rolex. It's yours. Hell, you see this?
Oh, my word. Did the guy snap?
$100 bill. It's yours.
Hey.
Yours.
God.
Yours. $3,000.
Hey, he just rifled a Gucci shoe. What is going on?
Bischoff, I didn't leave it.
Oh, wait a minute. We're in boxing for a second. Oh,
I'm not leaving Baltimore till you and I get something straight. I'm telling you, Bischoff, I will leave the wrestling world forever. I will sign my house, my cars, whatever money I have, I'll sign it over to you. I will give you the satisfaction of saying you raped the Nature Boy. If you have the you-know-what to walk the aisle here tonight one more time.
He called him out. Oh, whoa. You've got thousands of dollars laid out here. You'll sign everything over you want.
But the one stipulation that I'm begging you, God, I'm begging you, Bischoff, be a man. If by the grace of the good Lord, woo, I beat you, I get to run WCW for 90 days.
Get out of here. out of here.
And the first thing I'm going to do is take your head out of Hogan's ass.
That sounds like a challenge.
You have had Turner blindfolded. You're a scammer. You're a schemer. You've got the brain of a pisshead, and you're running an empire. You're not smart. It's tradition. It's Goldberg. It's Nash. It's the Four Horsemen. It's the Steiners. Luger, Sting, and all of us that have bled and sweat. Hell.
Wait a minute, there are no more clothes left here. Nature Boy, what is this?
Oh, my, oh.
$30,000.
I ain't going home.
He's handcuffing himself to the ring.
For you, get your ass out of here. Come on.
Okay, I've been told we're going to be right back. Don't go away, please.
Bischoff, you turn the camera off and I'll be naked when you come back.
Oh my God.
He'll do it.
This is unbelievable. Fans, you can't afford to go anywhere. Sit in your seat, you can't come on back.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.